Father, we want to thank you that you have spoken. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You have decreed that. And we want to thank you, Jesus, that you're the one that sustains everything by your powerful word. And so this morning, your kingdom come, your will be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. And we want to thank you, Father, for this incredible family of yours who are citizens of the kingdom. To be able to grasp, to be able to learn, to be able to really learn what it is to live in the reality of your kingdom as citizens of kingdom. And we want to thank you that we are no longer citizens of Satan and citizens of this world, but of your kingdom. And therefore this morning, Father, share with us by the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you as you teach us, just as you taught the disciples day after day about the kingdom, the life of the kingdom, the way the kingdom of God works. We thank you as you continue just to open our understanding and speak to us and give us revelation of our reality of being citizens of the kingdom of God. So we thank you. What a privilege, Holy Spirit, for you to share as we listen to the readings of Paul about the new covenant ministry, where you're the one, Holy Spirit, that just imparts life. You're right onto our heart's truth. And so this morning, we thank you that the veil is removed. We want to thank you for your incredible way of just giving revelation, truth, and light, and just speaking to us that we may know, not just intellectually, but we may encounter Jesus, we may encounter the Father, we may encounter you, Holy Spirit. And this we receive this morning, and thank you for what you are doing in our lives today, for the glory of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. This morning, I think what I'd like to do is just to share a few little, what I would call maybe helpful hints or things that might just help, and then we'll just carry on from there. Sometime back, as God is sharing with me more about the reality of this faith of God and how to live, and just more and more of how to live and how to know how to use faith, how to grow in this faith that God has given to you and I. There's a process when God releases something, but then one has to get established in it. And this is where I am in many areas now, as God is sharing about faith, to learn how to be established in this faith and to be equipped in this faith. It's very important to really begin to not just hear and, well, that's good, but learn how to be established, because that is, that's not the easy part. It's easy to go into unbelief. It's easy to, again, just forget about what God has birthed in us by the Holy Spirit in the truth of faith. And so we need to continually be equipped in the ways of faith, in the way of the kingdom of God. We need to be continually established in what God is sharing and how he's equipping us with truth, so that we can stand, and you start to see then the fruit, you start to see the multiplication, just like the parable of the sower, we start to see the evidence of this. And so one of the great things about our Heavenly Father is that he strengthens us in faith. He's the one that continually ministers and helps us to be able to be firm in Christ Jesus, to stand firm in Jesus Christ. And this is why the ministry and the relationship with the Holy Spirit plays a crucial role, because he's our helper and we need the Holy Spirit to really help. And one of the things that you will find, and it just happens, it's not something that you're working at, it's something as we realize that God has given us this incredible gift, his faith in us, what starts to take place, the reality of the unseen becomes more and more real. because that's what faith does. Remember, faith is that confidence in the unseen. You know it's real, it's tangible, it's a guarantee, it's a substance of the unseen realm of God. And so the Holy Spirit's involvement in our life, the Holy Spirit as a person, His love for us, His leadership becomes very, very real. And I can just share, because this might happen to you, but we're all unique and different. So as we are now growing in faith, you will see and experience more and more just how real when Jesus says that when I leave, I'm going to ask the Father, and He's going to send the Holy Spirit, John 14, 16 and 17 onwards. And He says it then, the world will not know Him, but you will know Him because He will be with you and in you. And as I shared two Sundays back, this with us is such an important truth. Most of us have received the fact and we know, Holy Spirit, you dwell within me, but we don't understand what Jesus is sharing about the Holy Spirit being with us. That word with is right alongside us, close by us, to help us. Just as Jesus was with His disciples, the reality of Jesus. So when Jesus says, I'm going to send another one just like me, just as Jesus walked with His disciples, that fellowship, so the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus speaks about, you know, those who are weary, etc., take my yoke upon. This is the reality of the with. It's like together with the Holy Spirit to be able to move. And what I'm finding as I'm getting established in the with truth, I'm finding more and more the life of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what He does, and His power and who He is really becomes more evident as we work together. And so, you know, in Mark 16, when Jesus gives a great commission in the disciples there in the Mark Gospel, and after that, what takes place there, we see how the disciples went out and they proclaimed the gospel, etc. And Jesus worked with them with signs and wonders to confirm the message. And this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit, not only in us, that does this incredible in the life of the Holy Spirit, but He's also with us, so we're not alone. We're in this together. And in this journey of faith, this is a big, big reality that is so important, because we're in a realm of spiritual truths that we cannot see with our natural eyes. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, it's not of this world, it's the spiritual realm. Could be get born again by the Holy Spirit to enter into the kingdom and to see the kingdom. And so when we are now growing in faith, the awareness, the tangibleness, the substance, the reality, all the nature, the attributes, who the Holy Spirit is, becomes very tangible and you're walking alongside. So the fellowship with the Holy Spirit is it grows, it becomes more meaningful, more beautiful, more real to us as believers. So that's important to understand as we go on. Another very important part, if you look at the life of Jesus, remember Jesus is an example as fully God yet fully man. He's showing us how to live as a child of God on the earth. So Jesus is always an example of how He lived in faith, how He worked with faith, how He moved in the realm of faith, and also understanding the faith in others who believe in Him. So Jesus, we look at Him, and we notice how many times, and this, I think we need to look at a few more scriptures just to share over here. I had some of these scriptures down somewhere. In Mark chapter 10, when in verse 52, this is when Jesus heals the blind Bartimaeus. And we read the account of how the people wanted Him to be quiet, and He was shouting out, David, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus calls him, and he comes, and then Jesus then asked, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, I want to see. And this is what Jesus said. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So we see how many times did Jesus say, your faith has healed you. Many, many times. And immediately, that one incident there when Jesus heals the Roman officer's son, or that the young boy that was virtually on deathbed, and remember the Roman officer said, but don't have to come to my house, just say the word. And Jesus marveled at this man's faith. And he then said, in all of Israel, there's no one that has faith like this man. He hasn't seen this faith in the people of Israel. And then Jesus then said, it's done. You see, Jesus understood how faith worked. Jesus had total confidence that faith that that man is operating in, Christ's ability, has all the power to bring about what needs to be done. And this is crucial, because it takes the weight off so many of us. When they may have the faith, but you might not have their faith in Jesus. You can have total confidence that the faith that they have in Jesus is going to work. See, it takes the weight off many, many of us there. And that is why when Jesus starts to speak about the reality of his yoke is light, it's very important to know that unbelief is a heavy yoke. Anxiety, worry is a heavy yoke to carry. This faith of God is very, very light, because there's total confidence in Christ's ability. And so that truth, nothing is impossible for us who believe, is very, very real. And that belief, remember, it's connected to the reality that the message, the words that we're hearing is coming from Jesus. So our belief is in Him and His ways and the kingdom of God. It's not in anything else. And so when we believe the reality of what the promises have been fulfilled in Christ Jesus, we start to know nothing is impossible. Therefore, it's important for you and I, as we looked at last Sunday, when Paul writes over there that no matter how many promises that God has made, all of those promises have been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And therefore, the yes is in Christ Jesus, because He has fulfilled all the promises that God has made. And therefore the amen, the faith agreement, is the promises come through Jesus, and you and I, as His children, we are able to say the amen. That's the statement of faith. Yes, we agree. We believe what You have fulfilled, the promises of God. And that's the amen. And that's the faith now that carries all the substance of all the fulfilled promises of God to manifest in our lives as believers. See, this faith is a big reality, and that is why religious faith is such a dangerous deception. Because religious faith, we have an intellectual belief system, but it's bypassing the life and the reality of Christ and the life of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and walking with the Holy Spirit, together with the Holy Spirit, to see the incredible reality of an unknown, unseen kingdom of God to manifest here on earth in a tangible, physical way. And this is the gift that you and I have been given. We know there is a spiritual gift of faith as well. That's another part of the faith. But all of us have received, because we have the Holy Spirit, we have received this incredible faith of God. So when Jesus has cursed the fig tree and he goes and he continues into the temple, the next morning they come back and the disciples marvel and they say, but look, the fig tree you cursed. And Jesus said to them, And this is again the English, and I don't know about the Afrikaans translations, but the English doesn't really describe the real literal translation. And so the English will say, Jesus replied, if you have faith in God, you'll be able to say it to the mountain. But the literal is, if you have God's faith. That's a big difference. You see, if you have God's faith, you can say to the mountain, we have God's faith. So one of the common words that we as children of God will say is that we don't have enough faith. That's a deception. That's a lie. Because we have God's faith. We just need to believe we have God's faith. See, that's the reality of it all. We don't believe that every promise that God has spoken has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And so we can now begin to get into agreement. So we've got something so profound in our, in within us as believers, and we're learning how to use this. So again, when someone comes to us and they have tremendous faith to believe, for instance, to get a job, God has promised them to be able to provide for their family or careers or whatever the promises have been that the Holy Spirit has revealed to them, what Christ has fulfilled on the cross. And they come to you and they've got tremendous faith, and you might not have the faith at that time because you may not have the revelation. But they have the faith. You can have the faith that the faith that God has got into them has all the ability to bring about what they are asking for. See, that's the weight of your shoulder now. Because they believing, they've had a time with God, they know what God has spoken to them, they're alive with this living faith of God within them. And you can pray with them together, they can be able to receive. Okay, so it's just part of walking with the Holy Spirit, and we see Jesus all the time. Go. Your faith has healed you. He didn't say a word, he just said go. Because he knew how faith worked. He knew that that faith that God had put into that person's life will bring about the answer. And they could go. And sometimes all you and I have to do is just like Jesus says, you can go, it's going to be done. Just to encourage them to just stay in that faith. Because you have confidence that their faith is all that's needed. Because they believe in God. They believe what he said. Okay, so many, many times you will find, you know, when the people came to Jesus, it'll always be what about their faith. It'll always be, many, many times it'll be, okay, now, do you believe? Do you believe? Etc., etc. And that's one of the things that we are learning, that as people are coming, there are many, many times when they want God to answer them, they want a prayer request, they want this, but they don't believe. Okay, and so that could be a teaching moment. It could be a discipling moment rather, so that they can really start to understand what it is. I often share when we talk about inheritance, and you know, a good parent must leave inheritance for your children. And for me, the most important inheritance that you and I can leave our children is how to live in God faith. Because then they lack nothing. They have everything. They have a relationship. God is real. So don't look for your parents for money and fortune. Rather receive how to walk in faith. That's an eternal inheritance. It's not something that'll be rusted and stolen and disappear kind of thing. And that's what we're up to. That's living in the kingdom. If you can give them a worldly inheritance, do that, okay? But I'm just thinking the bigger picture. Now, let's go back to Mark 11. And remember, this is where Jesus clears the temple. And it's back to that withered tree. I'm just going to just read this. So have God's faith, have the faith of God in you. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And verse 25 is very important, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And many, many times our prayers are not being answered because we've got some form of offense towards somebody, whether it's our spouse or whatever it may be. And there's no prayer, because remember, unforgiveness is such a symptom of unbelief, because we don't believe in the Word of God to forgive. We don't believe these things. So we're praying and we're not receiving because we've got a divided heart. It's very important why prayers don't get answered. Okay? And these are the things we need to be aware of. But one of the questions the Holy Spirit will be asking and will continually ask us is this very question over here. Go throw yourself into the sea. Does not doubt in your heart, but believe what he says will happen. In chapter 9, we also just see again with the healing of that boy with the evil spirit, when Jesus says there in chapter 9, and he says there in verse 23, if you can, Jesus, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. One of the questions the Holy Spirit asked me in the process of being established in the truth is, yes, the Word of God says nothing is impossible for those who believe. If you ask, believe that you receive. And he asked me, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that nothing is impossible for those who believe? You can't just answer that straight away. Because he then will take you to the place of, okay, let's examine the way you are thinking. How are you thinking about your past? Do you really believe that nothing is impossible? Or do you still believe in your past that's holding you back? Do you really believe that nothing is impossible for those who believe God? Or you still believe in the power of your sin and your past? You don't believe in the power of the blood of Jesus in forgiveness. You see, it's not so easy when we say, oh, this is wonderful, nothing is impossible. But then in being established in a truth, the Holy Spirit will start to unlock and start to share all these things so that we can work through them. Stop denying, stop pretending. It's the stuff that we don't yet know that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us, because these are the things that are holding us back and preventing us from really living in the fullness of all this incredible promises here that Jesus is making. See, here a promise Jesus is making to you and I, fulfilled in him. See, when he promised about the Holy Spirit coming to come and dwell with us and to be with us, it's fulfilling a promise that the Father said, my Son will be called, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. See, Jesus is fulfilling every promise. God with us. The Holy Spirit is coming so that the Father and the Son is dwelling within us. Got to go back to the Garden of Eden, where we see where God created, and we see the original, where Adam and Eve were having fellowship with the Lord in the garden. God with us. Jesus came to fulfill and to once again reconcile all things back to the Father. God with us. Fellowship with him. Not only within, but also alongside, in a way that is real and tangible and relational, to work together with God in advancing his kingdom. See, every promise that God has made has been fulfilled in His Son Jesus. That's through Jesus that you and I receive this by faith. Do we really believe? So, there's so many things that He starts to speak to you and I about concerning the way we think. How do we think about our today, our present life? Not just our past now. What about today, the situations that you and I face today? How are we thinking? That will tell us if we really believe that God will bring about everything that He has promised in our lives through His Son, Jesus Christ. See, no longer fridge magnet. No longer posters on the wall. Live in it. That's where the Holy Spirit is leading us. So He'll challenge you and I about the way we're thinking about our pasts. Do we have still got our belief in that? The way we're thinking about our present life today? Who we are? What we're doing? What's happening? The people around us, the economy, the politics. Do we believe? And then He will start to speak to us about our tomorrows. How are we thinking? How are we planning? What are we doing about our tomorrows? Do we really believe that nothing is impossible? Or do we really believe in a deception of a lie about the future? And we are now, so that's going to take place, and that we've got confidence, and we are fully persuaded that's going to take place, and we live in this fear, we live in this doubt, we live in this unbelieving world, instead of citizens of the kingdom of God. See, do we really believe we're in a kingdom of God? Do we really believe that this kingdom is an everlasting kingdom? Do we really believe that we are citizens? That's going to help us to really examine, and the Holy Spirit will say, these are the things that you say you believe, but look at the way you are thinking. Look at the way you are speaking. Look at the way you are living. Do they testify that you are in agreement? You really believe. So it's time to grow. See, it's easy to have this revelation, but to be established in something takes a journey. Because the Holy Spirit has to expose things in our lives that we don't realize are the things that are tripping and holding us back. Jesus made a promise, and He said, and we might not like this, but He said to you and I, He said, when I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's the Spirit of truth, and He will lead you into all truth. Therefore, you and I need to become comfortable with embracing change. Faith will always lead us into change, to become more and more who we are meant to be in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. That requires change. From the way I'm thinking about my past, the way I'm thinking about my today, and the way I'm thinking about my tomorrow. The way I'm speaking about my past, the way I'm speaking about my today, and the way I'm speaking about my future will need to be changed. The way I live my past, the way I live today, and the way I'm living tomorrow will require change. To keep in step with the Holy Spirit. It's not just another fridge magnet. Those who live by the Spirit will walk by the Spirit, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is leading us into who God created us to be. That requires change, and the Holy Spirit is bringing about the change. For us who behold God, what takes place where the Holy Spirit is Lord, is an ever-increasing change from glory to glory. So if we're not comfortable with change, it's going to be a struggle. Amazing faith statement. If you think about this in Exodus 13, when Joseph has now died, and God had spoken to Moses, and they're going to now leave Egypt. And Joseph had said to his family that when God fulfills the promise to take us into the promised land, take my bones with. A man of faith. Understanding the future. Fully persuaded that what God had spoken, despite them being in Egypt, it's going to take place. Take my bones there. So Moses goes and they bring Joseph's bones and they go into the incredible journey on the promised land. And Moses was prepared to change the way he thought. He was prepared to walk a journey of faith, changing the way all the time. He was prepared to change the way he looked at the present situation, how he looked at the future, how he looked at the past. And there were others there that were prepared to change the way, but there were others that were not prepared to change the way. And they got stuck and they died. They did not enter into the promise. See, God's Spirit representing the cloud of smoke and the pillar of fire, God's Spirit leading them into all truth. And some followed, and the 12 spies, and 2 said yes, and others said no, and many rejected because they were not prepared to walk the journey of faith. Faith requires change. Cannot say we have faith that we're not going to be prepared to change. We don't have faith. We believe in our current situation. We're full of unbelief. God's promises are far bigger than our unbelief little situation of how we think about today. It requires an incredible walk with God into all that He has purpose for you and I. It requires change. So we see how the journey. But the journey from captivity right through to their going into the promise is such a journey of faith. And this is our reality. We can learn from the life of the Israelites. We can learn the realities of crossing the Red Sea. We can learn about the provisions. We can learn about these things because they were being established to be able to a generation that continued to believe. They were being established. They were being equipped to be able to enter into and occupy the promise. It's easy to have revelation, but there's a journey of establishment that must take place in our lives. There won't be any fruit. So praise God, there was a generation that believed, and today we are fruit of those Jews that were prepared to walk the journey of faith and change. We see another example of in Haggai chapter 2. The Jews are coming back into Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And we see them discouraged and despondent. Because they were looking at the situation, the present situation, and they were remembering their past, the glory of the past temple. And so they were stuck in the past, and they were thinking of the past. They weren't prepared to change. And there they were there, all just moaning and groaning and discouraged and hopeless. Looking at the present. Looking at the past. Having no faith future. We could not see future because faith enables us to see the unseen, the future that God has for you and I. And then God comes and He speaks through the prophets. And He says, you see what's happening now? Oh boy. What's going to be building, the glory of what's coming is far greater than the glory of the past. And all of a sudden, they heard God speak. Faith comes from hearing. And all of a sudden, this future glory is speaking about you and I, this glorious body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, That's you and I that the prophet was prophesying, and they had a glimpse of this by revelation. And they started to build. Now future, faith gives us a future. They were prepared to change their attitude towards the past and the present, and they will then begin to move in faith to build, because it was building something that they perceived by faith far better than just the physical temple. The prophets grasp these truths. You can go through many examples. Imagine that poor disciples. Here, got culture, they got history of Jews and Gentiles, clean and unclean. And here Jesus comes and he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and I've come to fulfill the promise of God." And there Jesus is raised from the dead and gives them the Great Commission. Now the disciples go out, and all of a sudden there's a problem, because Peter's invited to the Gentiles. He's got to eat unclean food. Imagine if he was not prepared to change, and he was stuck in the past of the unclean. This is the way it is. It's always been like this. This is my religion. Can you see how religion could keep a person in bondage? Because that's the way it always is. We don't want faith. We don't want to believe. We want to know what's written so that we're safe and secure and we can control it all. And then God gives a revelation in a dream. And the Holy Spirit opens up to Peter, and Peter, "We're going to change. Let's go and make disciples of all nations." And you and I are the fruit of change. So when Peter goes back, and all his esteemed, learned elders and all that, they have criticized him. "How can you eat?" And then Peter shares truth, power by the Holy Spirit, revelation. And they said, "Yeah, let's celebrate God saving the Gentiles as well." Off they go into this incredible Great Commission, because they were prepared to change. The walk of faith requires us to change. So you and I will be in a constant environment of change all the time. That's a realm of faith, because it's a realm that's bigger than our natural. It's a realm that's bigger than us. And we've entered into this amazing kingdom of God. And so be prepared and be happy to embrace change. Don't resist. Yeah. So when the Holy Spirit starts to question, and he'll say to you and I, as he says to me, "Do you really believe?" Let's start speaking. Let's consider, how are you thinking about this? And then you realize, oopsie, I don't really believe. My heart is full of doubt. Thank you for showing me that my heart is full of unbelief here. Now I've got a starting point to be able to come and say, "Holy Spirit, take me into the truth. You're the one that guides me into truth. I need truth concerning how did Jesus fulfill the promise of God in this particular area." And then carry on until the Holy Spirit just really just brings it so true that I experience nothing's impossible now. The journey of faith. So God's word did not say that the righteous will begin by faith and stay in that beginning stage and sleep and just park there. God said the righteous will live by faith. See, it's a life for us as believers. So the Holy Spirit is helping us to be reminded of our unbelief, so that we can be honest, stop denying that which we don't know. The Holy Spirit will be making known. We can repent. We may not like the word repent, but we need to repent from unbelief. We need to repent from these things. Change our way. So when the word of God in Romans 12, when the word of God speaks, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world," Because that's not who we are as children of God. Our inner reality is not that. We're no longer controlled by the power of sin and darkness. No, we're in the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of light. We're children of light. Therefore, be conformed or be transformed. Become who you really are inside. Who we really are. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So when it comes to the change, we're not just changing. We have a truth that the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, and we are now renewing our mind to that truth. Living in that truth, that's a revelation, that's a journey of faith for you and I. It's not just nothing. There's a truth that we are walking in. So my prayer, and I think many are praying this prayer, that we will be able to really hear the Spirit of God speak, share with us every promise that Christ has fulfilled, that the Father has made, that we may receive and learn how to walk in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was a promise God made. Christ fulfilled that. Everything. So, guys, what are we going to put on our tombstone? Yeah, lives a person that embraced change and walked in faith. He is not in this grave. He's in the kingdom of God. Father, we want to thank you for what you're sharing and helping us to be able to live not in the pages of the Bible as information, but to live in the life of your word, to be able to live in the reality of what you have spoken. We want to thank you as Jesus, as you help us and you just us in your way. You're the author of faith, in your way to be able to just highlight and to manifest your faith in us, and just in each and every one to be able to taste and experience more and more what this faith is all about. So we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love us too much to leave us sort of stuck in our unbelief. And this truth, nothing is impossible for us who believe. We want to thank you as you question us, as you help us, as you give us the truth. What a privilege to be able to see the fruit of what you are doing in our lives. So this morning we receive the results we receive, the progress we receive from you, Holy Spirit, the outcome of your mighty, powerful, beautiful, loving work within us, in the way you are discipling, the way you are leading, the way you are working and bringing about this incredible transformation taking place within our lives. So we want to thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, you have made this possible. You're the one that came and died for us. You're the one, as we're celebrating this morning, your incredible sacrifice. Thank you that you did it, because we could not have done it. I want to thank you, Lord. Without your faith, we would never have faith to believe. Our faith is, it's human. But it's your faith that's in us that enables us to be able to walk and to believe and to be able to live in the life of your kingdom. And we want to thank you for that. Father, the joy on your heart, the joy in you is so big. What a privilege, what a welcoming joy that you have embracing us this morning, just taking us in, because you are our Father, we are your children. And oh, Father, as you father us in faith, as you father us in the reality of who you are, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. And we ask today, Father, stretch out your arms and embrace the community. Embrace the people of our towns and our cities. Embrace our nation and the nations, Father. Let your Holy Spirit work profoundly, drawing them to your Son Jesus, so that there's this incredible way of them experience your embrace, bringing them into your family, bringing them into the reality of what it is to be loved by you. And this we ask and thank you through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.